You're listening to the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by Twin Spires.
They come to the top of the lane. Teddy's Promise on the inside. Groupie Dollar's right there. Dance Card the Grey on the outside. Sweet Lulu tries to hang tough along the inside as well. Groupie Doll hanging on. Judy the Beauty's come back at them as well. And Dance Card on the outside. But it's Groupie Doll. Groupie Doll, Dance Card, Judy the Beauty going to hit it together. Groupie Doll along the inside. Groupie Doll, Judy the Beauty. Groupie Doll in a thriller. Groupie Doll beats Judy the Beauty. Dance Card was third. Summer Applause running on late to be in a photo with Sweet Lulu for fourth.
Kentucky bred Groupie Doll making it back-to-back victories in the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Sprint. With that winning performance in 2013, Trevor Denman had the call. The Kentucky homebred recorded 12 wins from 23 starts with earnings of more than $2.6 million for her trainer, Buff Bradley, who is going to join me momentarily on this week's edition of Kentucky Bred. But first, a reminder that awards up to $3,000 a race are available from the Kentucky Breeders Incentive Fund for winning an allowance or maiden special weight race anywhere in the USA or at Woodbine Racetrack. And awards up to $4,000 a race are available for winning a non-graded stakes anywhere in the USA or at Woodbine. And that, trust me, is just scratching the surface. I'm going to tell you about more incentives right after this week's Kentucky Bred conversation with Frankfort, Kentucky native Buff Bradley. Buff, appreciate the time, my friend.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate being on.
You stepped away from a very successful training career a few years ago and now hold a new position as Associate of Sales Development with Keeneland Sales. I want to talk about that in just a minute, but let's start with the words Kentucky Bred. What do those words mean to Buff Bradley?
Well, I mean, it means a lot to what myself and my father and partner Carl Hurst did with our breeding program. I'm down to one mare breeding now, but the foals that we produced and everything in Kentucky, yeah, it was a lot of money, and it meant a lot of money to us as we raced them. But now you get the breeders' incentives coming back to you. As you just stated, that's always nice to get a check about the time of year that you need it to start paying stud fees.
Yeah. How important was it to you, Buff, to make sure that the horses that you and your dad bred had that KY next to their name?
Very important. And we always, we were, of course, born and raised here, but I thought that it would be very important for everything to be, registered and being a Kentucky bred. As I said, there's a lot of money, especially added to the purse at the Kentucky racetrack. So the Kentucky breds made Kentucky racing very strong.
How much did that money that you just referenced, and I mentioned earlier as we were opening the segment, how much did that money play into a lot of the decisions that you would make with your operation?
Well, it meant a lot, and even going to the sales, my father looked to see if there were Kentucky breds, and that was number one requirement. So looking at the bottom of the page to see if they were registered Kentucky breds, that's something he wanted to always know before he even looked at the horse. So it was instilled in me to look for that first.
Has that carried over into your new position with Keeneland Sales?
Yes, it does quite a bit. I mean, I think, we're the Kentucky breds are very strong, and you want to see that. They're running in Kentucky for a reason, that the purses are so great here in Kentucky now. And with that, the added money for being a Kentucky bred, it brings the best here, and you're going to run against the best here. So you do look for that, and especially coming to yourselves.
How much different has this new role been for you in making that transition from training horses now to working with a sales company?
Well, I mean, I love training horses. It there wasn't anything better, but I'm very glad that I decided to change it up, and I was ready to move on from that, and very fortunate to acquire a job at Keeneland, which has been great. And I've been up there for little over 2 years, and just love working there. It's a great place to work, a great atmosphere as far as, you know, you've got sales and racing, so I get a little bit of everything there, and it's always changing what you're looking for.
When you retired, Buff, you retired with 575 wins, more than $19 million in purse earnings. There are two names that will always be associated with Buff Bradley, Brass Hat and Groupie Dal. How often are you still asked about those two horses?
Well, probably about daily. and those are, you know, just listening to the call of the race, I said, boy, that never gets old. Brass Hat's still on the farm. I don't own the farm anymore, but he's still there. So I get to go visit him, and he's doing really well. So Groupie Dal's over at Gainesway and doing well. So those are two horses that really made my career.
Am I correct in remembering that Brass Hat was kind of moving on to a second career? Is that right?
He did do, my daughter showed him a bit early on, and we figured out, I mean, he was good about everything, but you could tell he wasn't really into that. He didn't like it as much. And so he moved into a career of being a babysitter for a lot of animals on the farm.
You just mentioned how great it was to hear the call of Groupie Dal winning her second consecutive Filly and Mare Sprint. Will you go back occasionally and watch some of the races from not just Brass Hat and Groupie Dal, but some of the top horses that you trained?
Yeah, in fact, I watched one the other day of Divisadero just mowing him down on Derby Day, and that was his third year in a row winning there. And I just thought that was special to watch him, and he's taking off in his stud career, and I'm happy for him and Airdrie, who stands him, and that, you know, he's doing well now. So that's a big plus.
Before I let you go, Buff, what message would you have to people who are considering getting into this game and looking at a part of the country or a state that they might want to set up a breeding operation or a training operation or start owning horses and running them in a state like Kentucky? What message would you have to those folks?
Well, you know what I'm going to say, and it's Kentucky, but I'm born and raised here, yeah, and I'm Kentucky through and through. I think that this state is always moving forward and always thinking ahead on both racing and breeding. I think it's the cost of having a racehorse is not cheap. So when you're running for purses like we are in Kentucky and able to, you know, at least be competitive at this level, if you can compete here, this is where you want to be. And this is the best. And I always looked at wanting to try to, you know, have the stock to be in Kentucky, and maybe not always had them, but that's what I strive for always when I was training. And that's what I'm striving for now, is even, my horse ownership has depleted quite a bit, but I play a little bit in the game.
You always got to have a little skin in the game, and I know one thing for sure. Buff Bradley is always going to have that skin in the game in the Commonwealth of Kentucky. Buff, appreciate the visit. Great to hear your voice, and I'm sure we'll talk again soon.
All right. Thank you, Mike.
You got it, buddy. Join me next Saturday here on the Equine Forum for another edition of Kentucky Bred, presented by the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development and Breeders Incentive Funds, providing awards up to $5,000 and $7,500 for winning a Grade 1, Grade 2, or Grade 3 race anywhere in the USA and in multiple countries, and awards of $200,000 allocated to the top 20 claiming horses in Kentucky with the most claiming wins in the Bluegrass State. Breed them. Raise them, race them. We all win with Kentucky Breds.